Every Christian has a unique God-given calling and has been chosen by God to make a unique contribution in His kingdom.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, we heard Pastor Brian Grant list a number of very smart people who are confused about the meaning of life, if indeed life even has a meaning. But he also showed from the Bible that Christians and non-believers alike should never be in doubt that life indeed has meaning. So this evening, as Pastor Grant concludes his message, he continues to detail three prerequisites for living a life of significance. Here again is Pastor Grant with part two of Living a Life of Significance.
Oh, young people and older folks, I pray that today you will make a decision that you are going to start following Him, that you will have a personal encounter with Him. And for those of you who say you know Jesus and you're saved, if you're not following Him, listen, life gets better when we don't only get saved, when we decide to follow Him. Hallelujah. First, to live a life of significance, we must have a personal encounter with the Lord. Has it happened yet? I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to make that happen. To come to Jesus. Start the journey of faith with Him. But here's the second thing I want to leave with you this morning. To live a life of significance, we must discard everything that offends God. So here we are back in Judges chapter 6, verse 23. Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear." I'm in Judges 6, verse 23. "Do not fear, you shall not die." You can imagine how scared Gideon was when he saw this theophany. The Lord said, "You won't go and die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image, which you shall cut down." So Gideon took two men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household, you see that? Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Now please don't be too hard on Gideon. He did it. He did some, as somebody said, he still did it, okay? Sometimes we are afraid, because of our fear, we don't do anything. At least Gideon did it. Israel was God's earthly chosen people, but despite God's warning that they should not make any graven images, they were worshiping the idol Baal. It's hard to believe. God's earthly chosen people, and they're actually worshiping an idol. When we start slipping and sliding, we don't know how far we will slide. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice this morning, and you're slipping. Your walk with God is slipping, and you're sliding. Stop sliding. Come back to Jesus. Because when you start slipping and sliding, you have no idea how far you will go. Here Israel was. God's earthly chosen people. They are worshiping idols. This blatant, disobedient, angered God. And in case we don't know it, when we start slipping and sliding and chucking and whatever the term is, God ain't happy about it. So after Gideon's renewed commitment to God, God gave him the tough assignment to tear down his father's altar to the idol Baal. What would you have done? Oh my goodness. Gideon was so scared as to how his father, his family, and the neighbors would react, he decided he'd better clean house in the night. But before we jump to criticize him, let's applaud him for being God. Is there anything in your life or in your home that offends God? Come on now. Don't shout it out. The enemy wants us to believe we can have our cake and eat it too. But once we are saved, we must discard everything that offends God. Praise the Lord. Let me say that again. Once we are saved, don't tell me about you got your fire insurance. I got my fire insurance. I don't have to live for Jesus. I don't have to walk with him anymore because I said the sinner's prayer and my name is in the book of life and I'm going to heaven. Listen, once we are saved, we must discard everything that offends God. Let me go to, hold your finger in Judges because we're coming right back there. But let's take a journey to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all. No, that's not the right chapter. That's not the right chapter at all. It's chapter 6. I'm reading chapter 5. Verse 14. You should call that out to me. Pastor, that's not the right scripture. Verse 14. It says here, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Let me just pass by. This is not what I'm talking about, but some of you are hanging out with the unsaved. Some of you in some sort of a relationship. You're dating. You're... Let him go. Johnny seemed like such a sweetie pie. Gail is so... Let me pick another name. We have a Gail here. Give me a name. But whoever she is so adorable. And your parents love her so much. Is she saved? Is he saved? As they used to say back in my day. One fella, he said to his mom, she's almost saved. You know, to be almost saved is to be almost pregnant. You ever run into a woman who's almost pregnant? She either pregnant or she ain't. Am I right about that? The person either saved or they ain't. All right, that's his extra credit you get for that point. Okay. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with... And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God. They'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, says the scriptures, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Parents, young people, we must not only get rid of sin, but parents, we need to make sure that anything that's in our home that offends God must go. Young people, you have a responsibility. But we as parents, we have a responsibility to make sure that anything that offends a God is removed from our home. So let's be careful about what we allow in our home. I know growing up, sometimes you wish your daddy would give a little lenience and allow some of the stuff. After a while, you're so thankful to God that he was the way he was. Amen? My brother is here. We thank God he was the way he was. And listen, ganja, we used to call it, that stuff that makes you high. He didn't even care if you wanted to put chocolate on it. It wasn't coming in there. Amen? Parents, particularly dads, if you know Jesus, make sure you're getting rid. Nothing offensive must come into your home. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Here's what it says. Deuteronomy 7, 26. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. There's a lot of things in that are out there that we need to get rid of. Amen? Parents, be on guard. Young people, be on guard. Some Christians believe that they are serious about their worship. It shouldn't matter what others in their home are doing. So let me answer that. This idea that if I'm serious about worship, it doesn't matter what others in my home are doing. So in verse 24, we see of Judges chapter 6. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it "The Lord is Peace." Gideon had now gotten serious. He was into serious worship. But even although he was serious about his worship, look what God told him in verse 25. Now it came to pass that same night, the same night that Gideon is having this wonderful praise service, the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old. Tear down the altar of Baal that your father has. Cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Listen, sometimes poor Gideon gets criticized because he did it by night. But he did it. Amen? He did it. For some of us, we may have been a little shaky, but let's do it. Amen? Write this down. We must ensure we do not allow or keep things in our home that God hates. Amen? We must ensure we do not allow or keep things in our home that God hates. Today, God is warning us that if we desire his blessing on our family, we've got to get rid of the things that offend him. If I want God's blessing on my family, I must get rid of the things that offends God. First, to live a life of significance, I must have a personal encounter with the Lord. Second, to live a life of significance, I must discard everything that offends God. And here's the third and final point I want to make today. To live a life of significance, I must pursue God's kingdom purposes for my life. We're still in Judges chapter 6. And I want to take you to verse 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose up the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me." So you're getting what's going on, okay? Gideon asked God to cause that there is dew on the fleece, but everything around it is dry. And God so causes the fleece to be so soaking wet, they're able to wring a whole bucket full of water, okay? But everything else is dry. Gideon comes with, "Okay, let's play another game, God. This time, let the fleece of wool, wooden fleece, let that be dry, and everything else." So everything all around is soaking wet, but just the fleece. What is he up to? Is he trying not to have to do what God wants? I don't know what the man's game is, but you know, sometimes we play all sorts of games in order not to do what God wants us to do, right? So, comes to God, verse 39. God, please don't be angry with me, but let me just speak one more time. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry, as I said. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. But do you know, despite all that, Gideon, because you realize what was the driver here. Gideon did not really want to pursue God's kingdom purpose. Gideon was trying to get out of pursuing God's kingdom purpose. Like many of us, do you know that God, young man, teenager, God has a big plan for your life? I'm glad so many of you are listening. God has a big plan for your life. He had a big plan for mine. For many years, I tried to fight it. You can talk to me one day, I'll tell you. Because there's something in us that resists God's plan. But God has a big plan for you. But Gideon was trying to fight it. Are you pursuing God's kingdom purpose for your life? Or are you still pursuing your own agenda? Oh, I pray that today there will be a change in your direction, a change in your heart, a change, young person or older person, when you will say to God, "God, if you have a kingdom purpose for my life, I want to discover it and I want to pursue it. So my life is better. I like it better when I am following his kingdom purpose." Amen. You can change the song and find the right tune to get that in, okay? But when we fight, God has a plan. Don't miss out on God's plan. Young people, I challenge you, study hard. Get all the education you can, but in your getting, make sure the central focus of your life is God's plan and purpose for your life. Get the education, amen. We encourage education here at GCA, and we'll do everything we can to encourage you, but in your getting, pursue God's plan. Don't miss out on what he has. Write this on this. Listen, years ago, let me give you one last illustration. I'm almost done. Years ago, researchers at the University of California at Berkeley did an experiment in which they introduced an amoeba into a perfectly stress-free environment. The amoeba lived like ideal temperature, optimal moisture, constant food supply. the amoeba had a perfect environment. So you would guess it was one happy little amoeba. Strangely enough, the amoeba died. Here is what I read. All living creatures requires challenge. And when we pursue God's kingdom purposes for our lives, it will not only provide us with the challenge we need. You see, you can find challenge everywhere else. But when you are lined up with God's kingdom purposes, you'll not only get the challenge, but you'll get all the joy and blessing that only God can give. Amen? The joy and blessing only God can give. You know, sometimes it's good. I don't mind the fact that I'm not a young kid anymore. You're listening to an old head now. But I thank God for all these years of experience and knowing the joy that God can bring into your life. So write this as your last thing to write down. Every Christian has a unique God-given calling and has been chosen by God to make a unique contribution in his kingdom. So I used to ask you, do you know your kingdom purpose? If you don't know it right now, I'm hoping and praying that today, I'm going to be praying for some of you. I'm praying that today there's going to be someone who say, Pastor Brian, I really am not sure what my kingdom purpose is, but I really want to know. I want to discover it. And I don't just want to discover it to decide whether I'm going to do it or not. I want to discover what God's plan is for me so that I may pursue his plan for my life. By the way, he may not just, let me just give you a little warning here. God's kingdom purpose for your life is not that he's going to tell you, give you a pre-recording of your life. God's kingdom purpose for your life in many instances is going to be unraveled as you submit your life to God and walk with him day by day. And after a while, you realize that God has moved you in that direction and that direction and that direction. And eventually you say, whoa. He was leading me. He leadeth me. He was leading me all the way. And this is what his plan was. Because it started by my deciding to walk with Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Lead me, Savior. Lead me. Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Right now, I'm going to ask you to make that decision. God, I want to discover and pursue your purpose. Please help me as I recommit my life to you. Are you willing to do that?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.